Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Let's get ready to receive the word. I had one other thing, it'll come to me in a minute. I'm having a senior moment. Oh, I'm not going to claim that. Say this with me before we pray. What I talk about comes about. I want to say it again. Say, what I talk about comes about. Father, I pray that this word would sit down on us right now and that we would start talking about your promises, talking about what you have said to us, not what the devil's saying to us. That we would counter what we're hearing in the spirit with what you have said. Because everything you have said will come about. So help us to talk about what you say. Not even what we think or what we want to say. I pray you, Holy Spirit, you would arrest our tongue and help us to be more intentional to speak of your promises and not of the problems. In Jesus' name, amen. So just I wanted to start here this morning. I've entitled the message, God, you promised. How many of you as children said to your mom and dad, but dad or mom, you promised? And even our grandkids are like, you promised. Take me to Disneyland. You promised. To take me to the aquarium. You promised. Kids never forget. Especially when it's something they want. They are relentless. And Pastor Simone's back there shaking her head because Cash is relentless. She will wear you down. Just again and again and again and again and again. And you all are laughing because you have children like that, right? We could learn a thing or two from children. Because when a child gets a promise from you, they never let you forget it until they get it. And I want to encourage you in this season that there is a principle there that we must become more intentional with, because as we get older, we get more relaxed and complacent and even lazy in the delay. There's all this stuff that happens, the demonic stuff starts to happen, and we get discouraged, and life starts to happen. And I have always said this, delay is not denial. And a child doesn't care how long the delay is. Well, they do. But they are not going to let you forget what you said to them. And at some point, if you are going to maintain your integrity as a parent, you have to navigate that and make that happen because it's your word at stake. Yeah? So today, I want to teach a principle that many of you are already utilizing, but I also want to encourage you that you may be in between the problem and the promise, which we often are. There's, you know, another problem, and we need to pray and speak right and believe that the fulfillment of that solution, that answer, is on the way. But there's a way to war for it. And so it's interesting that in my master's mind class, we have five areas of our life that we're all working on, whether we're 100 heirs or 1,000 heirs. Millionaires or billionaires. We all are working on areas of our life where we are waiting for fulfillment and growth to happen. And there's five areas: financially, physically, relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. I love it. And none of us are getting off the hook. And so this last week, Pastor Tim told us all, what I want you to do is I want you to get promises that are from the Word of God And I want you to begin to speak the promises of God over these five areas of your life. Get a promise for finances. Get a promise for physical health. Get a promise for relational health. Get a promise for emotional health. Get a promise for spiritual health. And it's interesting because this is what I'm teaching you right now, that we are, as believers, to know the precious promises of God, because there is a battle raging for our families, for all of these areas of our life. And it's when we know the precious promises of God and we anchor our belief system to that instead of what we see, the promises of God pull us forward. The promises of God pull us out of the pit. The promises of God keep us moving toward the fulfillment, our purpose, and all of these things. Does that make sense? So this is the key of knowing what the promises of God are and being militant to go back and speak those promises over these areas of your life, because what we talk about comes about. Amen? So, A, God, he promises to bless and protect your family regardless of the circumstances. And he wants us to put him in remembrance of his promises. Most of us are good at telling God our problems, but Isaiah tells us, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. It doesn't say put God in remembrance of our problems, and we can talk to him about our problems. It's easy to complain and whine about what isn't right and to pray our problems. It's more work to find a promise. This is what I'm encouraging you to do, so you're going to have to do the work. And right now we're in Bible study, so if you see a promise in the Word, highlight that. Say, ooh, that's a good one. You know, copy and paste it and put it in start a promise document. I have what I call my stockpile. That's my ammunition. And I don't want to go to war with any general that doesn't have enough ammunition. Right? I don't want to even be with soldiers that don't have enough ammunition. I want you to know how to use your weapon. I want you to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which I just took you through, but I want you to be locked and loaded. So start a promise file, document, journal, write in it God's promises to me, like, you know, my promises. Just name the thing and start copying and pasting or handwrite them. I love handwriting things because as I write it, I process it even more, and it goes down inside of me. So once I write it, I say it, and then I pray it. And, you know, it's so important that you do this, that it's more work to find a promise in Scripture and remind God of what he says about our situation, but you need to do it, okay? It is work, but you got to do the work. And so for me, years ago, I would have two categories, problem. Every time a problem presented itself, I would write down, that's the problem. And then over here, I'd write, that's the promise. Amen. You see what I'm doing? Yeah. And so I don't deny that there's a problem. People that deny that there's a problem live in fantasy land, and they don't deal, and they don't pray, and they don't put faith on things. So we don't deny problems. But many times when we're immature in our faith, we're young. How many of you have children that my foot hurts, and, you know, and I just don't feel good, and I can't, and, you know their potential. Why are you laughing? You're a school teacher. Yeah, you know their potential. You see their capacity. You know that they can't, but they're just little whiners, and all they want to do is come and tell you all their problems. And now we even have shows called The Boo Boo Song. Y'all know about the boo-boo song? We have outlawed it in our house. We do not, because it's just, it's geared to children to just focus on their boo-boos, focus on their pain and all these things, and to sing songs about it. There's even one about a mosquito bite called I'm So Itchy, Itchy, Itchy. You guys know about this stuff, right? I outlawed it in my house. I'm like, I will not sit and listen to children just singing about problems. It's good to know where to go when you have a problem, right? Go to mom and dad. But I even see it like going to the minds of our children, where we glorify problems more than we do solutions, right? Children love. I have my grand girls, they love Band-Aids. I think they just like the all the styles of the Band-Aids, but they come in sometimes looking like military soldiers. They got their stripes, they've earned them, you know, all the Band-Aids, and they tell me about every boo-boo they got. And so we give them love and all of that, but we pray, right? We laugh about that, but we need to start teaching our children that when there is a boo-boo, when there's a problem, that God can take care of that, and we point them to him. And I started, you know, like, thank you, Lord, that this is healing. Thank you, Lord, that this boo-boo's going away, you know? We need to start to teach them that God is the answer, and that they're, you know, their pain's going to be healed, their heart's going to be healed, that, you know, whatever the enemy has stolen from them or been destroyed, you know, unless they did it, that God's going to replace it and God's going to bring them out. And, you know, I started trying to teach my kids these things. They may not remember all of this, but just whining and complaining and praying problems, which we can do, is not going to get us the solutions that we need. Israel complained and they remained. They complained in the wilderness and they remained in the wilderness. And there comes a point where you have to turn your eyes up to the Lord and say, I don't necessarily enjoy this place I'm in. I don't see the promised land yet. I'm in transition right now. This is uncomfortable here in this place, and that's okay to say. But God, you promised. You promised a promised land. You promised a land flowing with milk and honey. You promised a better day. You promised an upgrade. You promised this for my children. You promised this for my family. You promised this for me. Amen? God, you promised, and he loves it when we do that. And so, B, God is obligated to bring to pass what he says. He is. And when we say, God, you promised, something powerful happens. When he hears his promises coming out of your mouth, because that's his word. Angels go to work. Forces of darkness are pushed back. Chains are broken. Favor is released in a new way. Impossible situations start to turn around because nothing can stand against our God or his word. The Bible says that angels go forth at the word of the Lord. So when the word of God is being spoken on the earth, angels go, I have an assignment. One time I was just imagining a bunch of angels all leaning back against the pearly gates going, I wish somebody would just give me something to do today. I'm so bored, nobody's talking the word. I wish somebody would just say something so I can get to work. Right? I know they're not bored up there because they're fascinated with the Lord. They're in his presence and all of that. But the Bible says that when the word of God is spoken, that an angel goes to work. And we need to learn how to deploy heaven's forces on our behalf. When we talk the demonic, and the devil loves it. Oh, look at them just rehearsing all their problems. And I just see hordes of fallen angels. Now they go forth at the word of the enemy. Yeah? And when they hear the word of God being spoken, they know they're outnumbered. Everyone still here? They know we're outnumbered. Uh-oh. I don't know. I wish that I could get in their head and them saying, we followed the wrong leader, like have, you know, some conversation about that. Like here we are stuck on this godforsaken place and we followed the wrong leader. We better get out of here because, like, this person knows the word of God. And when they speak the word of God, that means we need to get out of here because there's more coming for us. Many times we focus and we think the enemy, there's more against us than there is for us. The truth is, there's more for you than there are against you. Yeah, you can clap for that. There are more for us than there are against us. And I have this picture that when I'm speaking the word of God, and I just laugh. I'm like, tuck tail and run because they're coming for you, Paul. Yeah? It'll get you talking the word more. Some of your wheels are turning. I need to talk the word. Do it. Many times we're up in our head and we're rehearsing all the things that are bad going on in our life. And it is good to face reality. Did you hear what I said? I wrote a whole series called Faith It. faith it till you make it. I don't say fake it till you make it. You faith it until you make it. And you faith reality. When reality, you know, comes up in your face, how do you faith reality? You get a scripture, a promise, and you throw it out there, and you see angels starting to go to work on your behalf, and you say, I believe that more than I believe this. I believe that more than what I see. I believe that more than what I hear. I believe that, and I will believe that until that manifests in my life, because what I talk about comes about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm getting kind of charismatic. I felt my hair move. So here's an area where I see the devil warring right now, and he will continue to war. He hates the seed of Abraham. He does, because you're the seed of Christ. Yes? And his whole assignment is to eradicate you from the earth. But he cannot, because we are the church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. And the enemy, he has warred for you if you are the seed of a righteous man or woman. I saw it. And he's coming for the second and the third generation. So you better be praying over your grandchildren right now. You better be praying over the ones that haven't even come out of the womb yet, should the Lord tarry. I got layers of scriptures for my greats and my grand-greats. I mean, my great-greats and my great-great-greats. And I'm like, Simone, Christy, you're going to have to take over after that. Hello? You better train them. Don't you drop that baton. Don't you be like a Joshua in your generation, where there arose a generation after Joshua that knew not God. That is the saddest verse in the Bible to me, one of the saddest ones, because when parents stop talking the word, children are only going to hear from the world. They're only going to hear from the news outlets. They're only going to hear from the perverted school teachers in the public school system. They are only going to hear the voices that are talking. And I'm telling you right now, church, the church had better start to open her mouth again and teach children. There is a place in this house where we honor God, where we speak the word of God, where we sing the word of God. Come on, get your worship on, get your word out, get them in Bible class, and start talking the word. Because the world is trying to shove the fear, the dread, the perversion, the problems, the twisted thinking, all this craziness down their throat. And he does not shut up. He has a lion tongue, and he's talking all the time. And so I believe God is just unlocking the mouth right now of the church. So there's seven precious promises I want to go through real quick for your children and your family. And number one, and I've sown this as a battle seed. You guys can take these and do what you want with them, but like, I say them all the time, and I sow them. God will circumcise your children's hearts and make them want to obey him and be blessed. Now, that's a promise. Anytime my kids are all little angels with soft hearts, and they've never been crusty in heart ever. Not like me. But my mom, this was one of her main ones that she sowed and she prayed over my life. And here's how she did it. I'm going to say it the way that you should say it and the way my mom did it. Lord, Deuteronomy 36. Lord, you're my God. And I declare that you will circumcise Verna's heart and the hearts of Verna's children. She lived to see all my children. And then she would say, you know, and her children's children. And God, you said that you would remove the desire to sin from Verna's heart. Oh, and honey, I had desire to sin. Let me tell you, I was the chiefest of sinners. I feel like Paul. You know, we had a sinning competition. I don't know if Paul might have out-sinned me. But Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. Do you see what I'm doing here? This is a promise. And there was a point in my life where I didn't want nothing to do with church. I still wanted God, but I had a twisted perception of God because of legalism. But my heart had become hard. And here's a mother taking the word of God and warring with the word of God. And this is why she could walk up in the drug room and point her finger above my head right at the devil and say, "Devil, you will not take my child. Every word spoken over her life shall come forth in the name of Jesus." And I'm looking at her finger over my head and thinking, the devil's right behind me. Oh, my God. But she was telling him off. Let me tell you. And she said, "I don't see what you see, daughter. You go look in the mirror. You see one thing. I see another. I see you clothed and in your right mind. I see the word of God coming out of your mouth. I see you standing in front of nations and preaching the word of God. Everything that God has spoken over your life and everything he has promised to me, it shall come forth. And I don't care what you feel like right now. Your feelings are going to change because the Holy Ghost is going to arrest you. And one day you will say yes to him because he will do whatever I ask him to do because I ask him to do it." You wonder where I got it, right? That's how you do that. I'm like, she's crazy as a bat. You know what? But there was power in those words. And those words shifted something inside of me. And we need parents. Come on. We need relatives in our life that will speak the word of God in the face of death and destruction and looking like the devil is winning. So she would say this, "God, you will remove the desire to sin from Verna's heart so that she will love you, Lord, with all her heart and all her soul. And so that she will live as a recipient of your blessing." You see what I did? That's called praying the promise. Not praying the problem. Here's how she would have prayed the problem. "Oh, God, she's on drugs. Lord, she has fallen. She's a mess. She's emaciated. She's on death's door." You see what I'm doing? "Oh, my heart hurts so bad, God." Even ask, go get her. Just bring her out. That's good. But do you see what I did? The request was there, but it was just praying the problem like God can't see. The Bible says his eyes see everything. God sees everything that's going on. What he's wanting is like, come on, I see it. Put me in remembrance of my word. Because I gave you agency on the earth and you have the authority. And until you speak it, until you begin to believe it, and activate your faith for it. I want to do it, but my hands are tied until you speak the word. All right. Number two, God will bless you and your children. They will not roam the streets begging, but make you proud and be mighty on the earth. Psalm 37:26. "I once was young, now I'm a graybeard." This is a reality in my life. I have to pluck them out. Watch this. "Not once have I seen an abandoned believer or his kids out roaming the streets. Every day he's out giving and lending and his children making him proud." We need to stand on these. It doesn't say that they didn't do it once, but they may get out there and start doing that, but you got to start speaking the word of God over their life. And the Lord will bring them back. Psalm 112:1-2. This is one of my favorite psalms on family. You read the whole thing. I'm just pulling out, extracting nuggets. It says, love subtitles, "Prosperity of the one who fears the Lord. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man or woman who fears the Lord with awe-inspired reverence and worships him with obedience, who delights greatly in his commandments." Right? So there's your prerequisite. Revere the Lord. Continue to worship the Lord no matter what's going on in your life. Watch this. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So I declare this all the time. Lord, my children and my children's children will be mighty on the earth. They are my descendants. They are your descendants. They are the descendants of the righteous. And so they will never be people that don't fulfill their purpose. They don't rise up and do something on the earth with what you gave to them. Amen. Number three, God will surely deliver your seed, your children. Proverbs 11:21. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be set free. Hallelujah. Yes? And so I'm sure my dad was praying. He didn't really get to see me like as much as my mom did, because my mom would come find me. Some of you mothers know what I'm talking about. She wasn't afraid to go find you. And I was just like, oh my God, my mom's here. The God squad's here. Put your clothes on. Put that out. Stop smoking that. Go hide that. Right? But she would come find me, and she would just always say, you know what? The descendants of the righteous shall be set free. There will be a day where you will be set free. You will say yes to the Lord. And the day that, and she would just say it, you will say yes to him. And the day that you say yes to him, everything will change in your life. And she would nod at me like, try to get me in agreement. And I'm like, right? You will say yes to the Lord. It's kind of a command, right? But she never let up. And she would always tell me, God has given me a promise. I was so sick of hearing about what God said to her, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God was saying stuff all the time. And if she couldn't hear one from him just out of the atmosphere, she had a scripture. This is what God's word says to me about you. You will be set free. Number four, God will contend with those who contend with you and will save your children. Here is the Lord's answer in Isaiah 49:25. The prisoners will escape. Those captured by the strong soldier will be set free. That's because I will fight your battles and I will save your children. Do you love it? So I'm giving you guys some really good stuff. Hold on to that. Right? That's a promise. Number five, God will teach your children, and great shall be their peace. Your family will be righteous, far from oppression, and fear shall not come near you. Isaiah 54:13-14. And all your spiritual children shall be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. You know how many times I have prayed this? Because it talks about your children and your spiritual children. How many of you have had children that are in chaos? There's no peace. They're disturbed. And that's the reality. And I have come to the Lord and I said, Lord, you promised that great shall be their peace and undisturbed composure. You promised that this would be their reality. And I speak peace over them right now. I declare they're going to walk into some of the most adversarial, oppositional, chaotic places. And they're going to walk in there on assignment. And God, when they walk in there, they will have Holy Ghost composure. They will speak the oracles of God. When whatever comes out of their mouth, they will astound the learned. Because great shall be their education, because they shall be taught of the Lord. They will have a higher education than what they got here on this earth. They will be taught by you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and great shall be their composure. And people will know when they open their mouth that they are different. Hallelujah. You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness, and conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. That's just packed full. And sometimes you just need to get one and just stay on it for a month. Come on, family. I don't want to overwhelm you, but I can tell you this. When I'm going through things, I don't need 20 scriptures. That's great if you got the time to do them. But I find one and I just hold on to it The Bible says meditate. You know that word means chew. Like a cow does, you know, they chew on it and they bring it back up. I know that's gross, but it's like we just got to keep bringing it back up. And I'm chewing on it and I'm speaking it and I'm chewing on it and I'm speaking it. And in my mind, I'm thinking what I talk about comes about. Oh, just wait, devil. You think you're going to shut my mouth? Oh, no. I may not be able to talk to these kids right now. They may not want to learn from me. But God, you promised that you would teach them. Teach them a lesson, Lord. And then you better sit back and just trust God. Because when God teaches them lessons, sometimes it's hard to watch. Because he's a good father. And the Bible says whom he loves, he corrects. And he chastens. And he takes them through. And sometimes you just look at that reality and you think, I didn't raise them to do that. And we start taking it personal. Well, you know what? Stand in the truth that you taught, okay? And you say, you know what? You are either going to learn through a mentor or you're going to learn through the school of hard knocks. But God's in the hard knocks, baby. And when you run away and get your head stuck in the fence, he will go out there and get you. And one day you will return. And one day you will be repentant. And one day you will be glad to be back in the Father's house. And one day you will get your robe and your ring on and you will remember who you are. You're still a member of this family, even though you've made mistakes. And God is going to teach you even when I can't. All right, y'all. I'm going to skip that other one in the ERV, and we're going to go to 6 because I'm going to wrap this up. Number 6, God will increase you more and more, you and your children, and everyone will see that you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalm 115, 14 through 15. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So, you know, it's great to pray that over someone else. This is what David is praying here, the psalmist. But I pray it over myself. And I say, Lord, give me increase, more and more. Give my children increase. You see what I'm saying? I declare and I thank you, Lord, you promised to give my children increase more and more. It says you and your children. And Lord, you promised that we would be blessed by you. You made heaven and earth. You sustain the whole earth. You hold it up. You hold all things together. And no matter what is going on, I don't expect to decrease more and more. That's what the economists are saying. Sometimes that's what my bank account looks like, and especially if you're in crypto. Some of y'all laugh nervously right now. Listen. In this world system, we've got to be willing to ride out the ups and downs, right? Be in it for the long haul. But the truth of the matter is that God promises to his seed that we are blessed and that we will multiply and that we will prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. And so we need to remind God, God, you promised that you're the God of increase. You're the God of multiplication. And I am not going backwards. Because you said I wouldn't. Amen? So I trust you, no matter what it looks like out there. You will increase my family more and more. And number 7, as I land this plane, whoever's on keys can join me. God will protect you and your family and your property. Whew. He will make peace in your borders on your property. And the drama and strife will stay out. He will satisfy your lives with the best of everything. This is a lot. So many families have strife going on inside their borders. I made a declaration years ago over my family that the drama and the strife would stay out. I don't do drama. I don't do it. I believe that, you know, we can have strong feelings about things. We can have opinions about things. But we should always seek to understand before we seek to be understood. We all are different. I don't want strife in my family because strife doesn't honor the Lord. In fact, there in Proverbs, it talks about seven things that God hates. He hates a haughty look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates feet that run to destruction. It lists all the things that he hates there. But at the very end, it says he hates the one that sows discord. Think about discord. Pastor Simone, can you play a wrong chord? What are you in? C? Play an opposite chord. Like, what are you playing in? C? Thank you. Play it with the right chord. Play the right chord. Play a D on the other hand. Can you do that? Oh, sound pretty. Okay, then do an A flat. Do an A flat. Thank you. Play the C in the right hand. Keep the C. Play the A flat. There you go. Do it again. Do it again. Again. Hear that? That's what it sounds like in heaven when your family's fighting. Hear that? Is that pretty? Do y'all want to sing to that? No? Now resolve it. Play the C. Play a pretty C. Everybody getting along? Hear that? That's no discord. Those are all kinds of different notes. The E is not a C. The C is not an E. The F is not a C. When you put these differences together in harmony, that's what heaven hears. I want my family and I want our church and I want the family of God to sound like that. And there have been times that people come in with all their pain because hurt people hurt people. And they come in with their pride and they come in with all of these things and, you know, they haven't learned how to submit and be with other people and be with people that are not necessarily just like them and to align their life with the Word of God together with the family with all these differences and say, we want to be in one mind and one accord with all of our differences. And many times you try to bring correction and they go 59 shades of crazy, 62, I don't know. That's above and beyond. Thank you, 66. Okay, let's just go to the Word of God and begin to pray it. Because what happens is when you pray the Word of God, the Lord begins to deal with you first. Let's read the scripture, it's powerful. It says, for he has strengthened and made hard the bars of your gates, that's your protection, and he has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders, which means the drama stays out. He fills you with the finest of the wheat, which means you and your family will be satisfied with the best of everything. Okay? Teaching today. So what that looks like is you read it and you begin to talk about it. Lord, I thank you that you have strengthened my property. You've made, in the spirit, there are bars, there are gates, there are walls, there's a fiery hedge of protection. You can pray however you want that is around my home. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm protected by you and heaven. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed my children and the children within this home. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that you've made peace my borders, not drama and chaos. I thank you that in here, we eat the best food. We have the best of heaven in this house. There's peace in this house, inside this house, because we have you, the Prince of Peace, in this home. And the more that you become that, you protect that. Anything that wars against that, you do it not in a way that's you know, all bowed up. That's what I'm trying to say. There have been times that I have been in defense of the Lord and the peace that we have in our home, and I said, I won't tolerate that here. But it's all about the way that you come at it, right? We don't ever want to match the energy and come in the same spirit as someone who's bringing the chaos and the drama. This is where you becoming a person of the word. And even in the delivery of the word, you don't have to quote scriptures at people, but just say, you know what? This isn't worth us losing our peace over. Come on, let's seek to understand, because we want this house to be a sanctuary. We want this home to be an example of the Lord. Let's do what we can to restore the peace in this home. Let's seek to repair. The more you know the word, you know the will of God. The more you know the will of God, the more you will protect the will of God in your home. This was a lot today, but I want you to go from this place today and just say, God, what is the one promise that you want me to learn and to meditate on and to become really skilled in wielding in this season? And I can tell you what it will be. It will be where your greatest problem is right now. Wherever that is, write it down, the problem, and put the promise there. And then just leave the problem on the altar with the Lord and say, this is what I will say until I see that go away. I will say that until that goes away. And I will become a student and a warrior and a representation of that. Yeah? Did you learn? Are you going to do it? Say it. What I talk about comes about, and I will have what you promised me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.